comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
Welcome to Talking Comics. We have Tanner Giese with us. And yeah, just before we jump into the comic that I've read, actually I read both issues. Yeah, tell us about yourself.
Well, yes, hello. I'm normally on the other end of this. I'm in your position normally, so this is quite new to me being one of the people interviewed. Hello, my name is Tanner, as he said. I am a creative storyteller is what I basically call myself. I write the number 2 Pencil Man comic series. I have issue 1 and 2 out currently. I also do YouTube and content creation, and I do dress as number 2 Pencil Man, which unfortunately I am not dressed up for this one, but yeah, that is who I am.
That's awesome. So yeah, we'll get into the whole content thing too, because we'll have to, I need to be on the other side like you one day, so maybe I can be on your show one day.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be cool. I'd like to start doing like more crossover things like that. That would be kind of neat to help each other. Like every one of these conversation episodes has turned into motivational, which you fit the T for that with your books. And then number 2 is like, you know, we're all in this together. We're all here to help each other. Like we're not against each other. We're here to help each other.
Absolutely.
Right. And I've loved that, you know, being part of the comic community, and almost 99% of the people are that way. Right. Mm-hmm. We're here to help each other. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to pick on you for wearing a number 2 Pencil Man costume, you know, even though our families might like it. But, you know, you've inspired me because I've created, you know, this whole Panel Pete
mascot
for the podcast. And excuse me. You know, I'm actually starting to write my first comic. So featuring Panel Pete. So I've actually got a couple pages of the script done. I got to find an artist. So we're working on that one day. But go into like what got you into discovering number 2 Pencil Man.
So the story, it's an interesting story, because if you would have asked me 5 years ago if I was going to even be doing like content creation or comic book writing, I probably would have said no. It was a dream of mine as a child. Like, I always wanted to write or draw. Back then, I was really big into drawing my own comics. And, you know, after high school and you go into the real world, you kind of lose that spark a little bit. It's hard to maintain it when you go into the 9-to-5 workforce. Some people go off to college and are able to keep it alive a little bit longer, depending on, you know, what they go for. If you go for art and creative things, and I was going to, but unfortunately, due to family circumstances, I ended up dropping out of community college and was like, I'm just going to join the workforce. Well, I lost my creative spark real fast and kind of went on a downward spiral for a good year or two, and took me a little bit. I hit like a spot where I just felt completely worthless in my life. And I had this huge perspective shift one day. I was like just over a recent breakup, really down in the dumps. And I just felt like, you know what, there's actually something worth living for. And I started to believe that I was worth more than what I ever thought I was, and started to walk that out. And then step by step, I started to rediscover my love for creative storytelling. And when I did, I decided I was going to start YouTube. The story of number 2 Pencil Man actually starts on YouTube. And it's really interesting how that took form. Back when I was in second grade, I sat on a pencil. And as you read in the comics...
So that's a true story.
That is a true story.
That's phenomenal.
That did happen. And it was the story I decided I was going to tell first on my YouTube channel. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a storytelling channel. And I'm like, I can't just do this without adding flair to it. I got to make it interesting. So I went on Amazon. I started looking up costumes. And I'm like, they got pencil costumes. And I'm like, superhero origin story. So I found a cape, a mask, and for my first video, I told that story, and I put the costume on, and that kind of started it. I started going to conventions to promote my YouTube channel, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to dress up as number 2 Pencil Man. People, I got a real crowd that started to love the character, and I constantly heard, you should write comic books or you should do this. So I didn't do comics right away. That was like 2 years after that that I actually wrote the script for this. But I did a live action pilot video for issue 1 and 2, and it's on my YouTube. Low budget, low quality, because all I had was this cheesy camera. I'm like, you know what? Everybody starts somewhere. But I actually did the
That's
live
right.
action. I did the whole thing, and yeah, that kind of started to grow. And I thought I was going to keep doing live action, but then me and my wife had our first son. And after that, I didn't have the time to do YouTube as much. And I was like, you know what? I got something going with this. I rewrote the YouTube and I made it into the script and I rewrote it so that it's actually how I wanted it to be. Like if I would have had like the special effects and everything. So the result of that was issue 1 and issue 2. And that was about 2 to 3 years after those cheesy YouTube renditions.
Are the videos still there?
Yes. Actually,
What's
I
the YouTube
started.
channel?
So it's Tanner's Tales Entertainment. I'll flash my cool little
Okay.
mic here because that is my
Yeah.
logo.
So it's a
I.
Tanner Tales one. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of how the company name started. So Tanner's Tales is my actual LLC name, and I still use the YouTube. Like, I just started reviving the channel. I started doing more diverse content, I'd say. It's not as much into the skits as it used to be. It's taken a shift, and I'm just trying out different things, seeing what my niche is in content creation. So it could be like vlog videos, it can be challenge videos, or it could be like a business vlog of me at one of my conventions when I talk about how I did and all sorts of stuff like that. So I'm slowly coming back on that.
How was it? You said you went to the conventions to promote the channel. How did that go?
Yeah, so back then, it was so interesting because I used to go to Comic Cons before all of this. Back in high school, me and my dad would go, and we went to. It used to be called Wizard World. Now it's Fan Expo. So Wizard World was in our state in Pennsylvania. So we had one in Philadelphia, and we would go there. And I wouldn't really dress up, but that was like my first exposure to cons. And when I stopped go like after high school, I stopped going to those. And when I came back after I started content creating, it was so different to me. I was just like, this is really cool. Like, why did I ever stop? The community is fantastic. I got to network with a lot of people. It's actually how I met my artist, which is another
Sweet. We'll get
story in and of
into that.
itself. But
Yep, we'll get into that.
yeah, I didn't expect, like, for being a YouTuber, I wasn't sure how I was going to be received going to a con, especially like dressed up as a character. But oh man, it was really good for promotion. I
Awesome.
over the first year or two, I grew my channel probably up to 100. Now it took a lull when I stopped, but yeah, I got a lot of support, and like I said, a lot of people ended up loving Number Two Pencil Man.
That's something that I'm looking into doing. Is going to conventions and getting like a booth for the podcast, you
Oh, that
know?
would be awesome.
And I've been a little like, so I mean, I'm pretty new at this, right? So, like you said earlier, there's a lot of things I want to go back to that you've already said. But, you know, if you would have told me a year ago that I would be sitting here in front of a microphone and a camera, I'd be like, you are crazy. Like, I would have never. This is not me. Like I love creating. I'm very creative. I'll do a lot of graphic design. I do some content stuff, but normally me, I tried the whole in front of the camera a couple years ago. I did some golf videos, so as I work in golf in my day job, in a golf job, and I was doing some golf creation funny videos, just reels, right? Just funny reels on Instagram, and they were getting pretty good. But then I just kind of stopped for some work reasons, but we started a podcast for work, you know, a few months ago, and it was so corporate that it was like in January we started, and it was so corporate, still is. There's so many layers of approval, and I couldn't do anything. So I'm a creative person. I need to be out there. I need to fail is the best way I can put it. Like I need to be able to test and fail to learn. You know, failure is a great way to learn. You know, how old's your son?
Absolutely. He's 19 months.
19 months. You know, how much failure does your son go through when
On a
trying to
daily
learn to
basis.
walk on a daily? Right. You know, but it's in the process of learning. And it's failure's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. you know? So that's the way I work. I need to be able to fail. So my daughter discovered comic books. I just told this story 2 hours ago in like almost every episode, but I don't care. So our birthdays are 2 days apart. She's 10. So I have an older daughter and a younger daughter. My youngest daughter is 10. Our birthdays are 2 days apart in December, right before Christmas. So I always take off. We just do fun stuff for a couple days and for our birthdays. And we find ourselves in a comic shop. And she discovered comic books. And she's like, can I get these? I'm like, heck yeah. And it made me rediscover, because like you, I had a kid at 19, dropped out of school, went to the workforce, forgot all of my, you know, whatever dreams and hopes I ever had, you know, and went straight to work and took care of my family. But now I'm a little older, get my kids are older. I can do those, you know, I can do more fun stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, so I've rediscovered my love of comic books, and her and I, you know, now we get a stack every week. We got a stack this morning at a convention. So, at a, you know, comic book show. I got my first Journey into Mystery today. So that was super exciting. but I'm a huge Thor fan, if you can't tell with most of the stuff in the background.
Yeah. That's
good. But,
I said that's a good choice, though.
Oh, yeah. Thor, I love Thor. Yeah. She's into Harley Quinn. That's her favorite. If you watch any of the stuff on here, it's always Harley stuff for her. Way too sidetracked, but it just turned out she wanted to, like, I want to be on your podcast for work. And I'm like, yeah, that's never going to happen. And I was like, well, hey, why don't we start one? We'll just do it on comics, because we just rediscovered our love of comic books and you are just now discovering from the first time. I think it'd be kind of fun. Just go over and play stupid games and, you know, silly games and have fun. And it gave me the chance to just throw things out there and learn the process of podcasting, you know, and here I am. This is, by the time this airs, it'll be in the 30s, you know, somewhere of episodes that I've released,
yeah,
you know, just since April. So, you know, April, I think it was end of March. I think we released issue. I always call it issues. Episode one. We released episode one in April, end of March or early April.
That's amazing.
So I've done a lot of learning and failing.
Yeah.
you could say, right? But I'm having so much fun and I'm meeting amazing people like yourself and other people. And, you know, it's just funny. Like, you reached out to me and then I see, like, you're interviewing people that I've already interviewed too. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Cause I think you guys did, Kevin. Yeah.
Yeah.
The CEO guy. Yeah. I literally like interviewed him. Like, the next day I see his family. Like, who is this? I'm like, oh, cool. You know, that was pretty neat. And
that's how I ended up finding you. Was I saw that you liked our group page thing, and I'm like, oh, hey, he does a podcast.
Okay.
I need to get on more of these.
Yeah, that's what I need to do too. You and me both, buddy. But I'm just having fun doing these and meeting great people. And, you know, we got totally, I even lost where we were, but we were talking about, you know, the failing and, you know, I think it was the conventions.
Yeah.
I want to do a convention.
You really should.
People are like, just, you should do it.
Yeah.
You know, get a booth. But I wanted to have something to sell, because that's just my nature. Like, I've done the gaming conventions, like the board games. I used to own a hobby shop. So I did I owned a hobby store, sold board games, card games for like 7 years. And I did many conventions with those, selling accessories and stuff. And I really enjoyed that, but you got to be able to, you know, those booths aren't cheap.
Oh, <yeah.
laughs> you know? Yeah. And, but I was like, I could do it for the podcast. But then I was like, I've got inspired to write my own comic book. So now I have a goal. I've already, like, I've set the date. I've booked the stuff. I have the printer. The only thing I'm lacking is finishing the script and finding an artist. But May 31st, I'm going to be at a convention in Michigan, and that's my deadline for myself to have it, if I don't get it before. So
yeah, I hope you
Panel
do.
Pete, yeah, oh, I'll do. Hopefully, I'll do it before. Panel Pete's going to have his own comic book here soon.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So
read it.
Well, yeah, I'll send it to you whenever I get it done. I'll interview on your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
For that. What was the job you went into?
So back then, it was, I went into night shift warehouse work.
Okay. Yeah,
And I
that's
am
good.
not cut out for night shift. I found that out real fast. I only lasted about 6 months, and I'm surprised I even made it that far.
Really? So what do you do now? What's your day job now?
Unfortunately, it's still at a warehouse, but it's during the daytime.
Okay.
Different dynamics. So I work as a returns clerk for a warehouse currently, but back then I was like an all hand kind of guy. I did a little bit of everything, but it was the
Sweet.
night shift, and I no couldn't. I'll never do night shift again.
All right, so tell me about the podcast you started. Are you is this a partnership or what? How do you do that?
Yeah, so that's another story. So back,
We'll
I
tell
would
them all
say,
here.
oh yeah, I'd say about a year. It was a little bit over a year ago. I started talking to a couple of my friends, my wife Katie and my artist Frey, of course, among them. And then we have another friend whose name is Rachel, and she's a musician. We all kind of got together, and much like we were saying earlier, like all the indies out there right now are kind of in this stage where we feel like, let's band together, you know, let's work together and try to build this big community. You know, the mainstream's getting a little boring, so it's like, let's work together, build a platform for other indie creators to be able to get their stuff out there. So we went back and forth for a couple months. We started talking. We did a couple video calls, and we're like, how about we start a podcast? And everybody was down for the idea. And so in December, we did our first one. It was just the four of us. We kind of talked about who we were, did a little introductory thing. And basically, ever since, we've been interviewing different independent creators of all kinds. So where yours specializes in comics, we go a little bit more anything that can be done independently, we've had on our
Independently.
show. So we've had authors, comic book creators,
Sweet.
we've had musicians, we've had professional wrestlers, we've had a couple small
Awesome.
businesses, a doctor of psychology, and my favorite, a clown. We've had a clown on the show. And it was
That's
just
awesome.
it's really cool because it's opened up so many like doors and opportunities that we wouldn't have expected. And man, you know, being here about 6 months into it, well, more than 6 months. We started in December. It's almost been like 8 months out
Yeah,
now.
it's
It's just
August
like,
already. That's crazy.
I know. And we try to be as consistent as possible. We try to do at least one episode a week. Of course, now working with four other creatives, it's hit or miss with who we have on the show each week. It's been a season of transition for Rachel and Frey more recently. Frey is moving up here to actually be close with me so we can do
Awesome.
a lot more business things together. Rachel has been going through some stuff with her work, so it's been mostly me running the show, but we all have this agreement because we feel so strongly about what we're doing for independent artists and creators. We believe that the show has to go on, whether it's one of us that can make it or all of us that can make it. We're going to do our best to continue to build this platform and give our guests the spotlight that they deserve, because every creative has something amazing to offer. And yeah, we
Amen.
just want to be able to broadcast that. So yeah, ours is a little bit less specialized in genre, but
Well,
all indie.
it is right now. It is, I mean, it's comics related and like I've done artists and creators. Like I'm just it's like creators in general. So I have like two different shows, right? So I still do the weekly show with my daughter. And I realized that I was holding her back way too much. I still kind of hold her back some because she can get a little crazy, but you know what 10-year-old kid doesn't. But she was like, I was holding her back way too much. And because I was taking this a little too serious. And then I was like, well, I got approached by, I would have probably figured this would be a year or two down the road I'd start doing these, but I actually got approached by somebody else. I got a random email one day that just said, hey, in your podcast, you want to do an interview with this guy. He needs to be on, you know, he's a publicist. He's like, do you want to do an interview? And I'm like, I'll try it. I've never done it, but I'll do it. It's like fake it till you make it, right? So I was like, okay. I was so nervous going into that. Like the first interview, I was like Googling questions, like watching other interviews. Like I was so nervous. And I got to a point of the interview. We got to it, we're going through it, and I feel like it's going, you know, decent. And it got to the point, and we'll get to the point in a little while. I'll ask you the same question. But I asked him, I was like, you know, I like to ask at the end of like the main questions, is there anything that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about, that you need to share or want to get out that I didn't ask? And he was like, man, he's like, you've done such a great job asking questions. He's like, I don't think, he's like, this has actually made me think. Like, most of these interviews, I just like, are dumb questions and I just answer them. But like, you actually made me think. I'm like, huh, maybe I'm good at this. It gave me the inspiration. So now I can't stop. And now I've got like, I mean, you know, I mean, we were messaging for a few days trying to get this scheduled. And I was like, so I'm like, I got a bunch of people that want to be on and I want to do them all, but I don't want to. I'm trying to figure out how to release them.
Yeah.
Am I doing one a week? I might have to go to two a week for a while. I don't know.
We ended up doing something similar. I actually, somebody put up a post on Facebook. It was in a comic group and they're like, I'm looking for independent comic podcast to come on. And I put ours down in the comments. And before I knew it, my inbox was flooded with like all these comic creators. And it's like, all right, we've been doing one a week now for a while. So I'm like, how can I accommodate you? Because they all have Kickstarters too. So they're like, our Kickstarter is dropping right now. And it's like, oh man, I'm going to do my best. So we went to two episodes a week and it worked to schedule people. But I'm like trying to figure out the algorithm and stuff is weird. So I don't know if one day works better than the other or.
Oh, I have no clue. I'm just putting it out there. I put it, you know. After we're done, I'm going to sit here and schedule all my posts for the week, you know, for the reels.
Yeah.
And I had to switch to do it. I was uploading them manually to, you know, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. And I was doing it manually, copying and pasting the description to each one. And I was, man, this is taking forever. So now I use a software where I can post it once and it sends it to all three.
I can schedule it out all week. That would be nice.
So I can spend 2 hours here, schedule all my posts, and then it just not worry about it till next weekend. You know? So
I wish
I'll schedule.
You're gonna have to give me the name of that when we're done with this.
Yeah. Sure. I'll put it down at the bottom so I can remember to tell you.
Yeah. Yes, please do. That would help me out so much.
It does. Like, you know, I go through and pick because I'm doing two episodes at least a week. So I have the creator interview that I release Wednesday, and then I released Annika and I's episode on Friday. So I pick 2 to 3 clips from each one, schedule them out, you know, put it in there and let it go. And then I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. I had one hit like 7,000 views on TikTok the other day. That was exciting.
That's awesome.
We were arguing about, I'll show you, it's funny. We were arguing. All it was arguing what the hell this black spot was on his boot. It's the top of his boot.
Yeah, why is it?
The front of his boot, really. But it looks so out of place.
It does.
And somebody clipped it on TikTok. It was funny. He clipped it and he's like, tell me you haven't read a Thor comic, but without telling me you haven't read a Thor comic. And he shows some older, and it's funny because I actually have an older one. I have so much stuff on my desk. But I found an older Thor, number 270, the Mighty Thor. It's very similar, you know, kind of thing. But then, you know, it was funny. I've got the, like this one. This is an early Thor. So this is Thor was Journey into the Mystery 82 was when he first released his first appearance. This is 109. So it's pretty early. You can see at least there's shading on his boot in this one. Just saying. So I thought it was funny. But yeah, that one got like 7,000 views. Like, okay, I'll take that. Just crazy.
You never
but
know what
some
the
of them get like
gonna just push
two.
Out. Yeah.
It's like the same video. They got 7,000 on TikTok, got 5 on YouTube.
Yep.
What?
It's so hard to predict how it's going to go.
No clue how idea that works. I'm just going to do it. And I like the idea of going to conventions and strumming up subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
I have another idea, too, for that. I'm going to get Panel Pete plushy keychains and give them away if people subscribe to the channel.
That's fun.
That's my plan. You need to get number 2 pencil man.
Yep.
Plushies and give them away for. You're in Pennsylvania. We'll have to do a convention together.
Are you in Pennsylvania too?
No. I'm in North Carolina right now.
Okay.
Pennsylvania is not far. That's only 6 hours. So. What part of Pennsylvania? Like near Philly or?
Right in the Harrisburg area. Some like central
Harrisburg.
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah. I go through Harrisburg. I used to live in upstate New York near Elmira. Okay. So I drive through there all the time. Yeah, once a year or so. But I'm going to come back to it. All right. We got way derailed, but that's okay. It's been great conversation.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So you wrote the comic, right? So, but you didn't, did you do any of the drawing or art? How'd you meet your artist? There we go. We'll get into the artist.
So going back to the con scene, I met, so his name is Frey. He has his own manga series called Endlock. I'll pitch that out there. So his is more manga based. So his is the smaller book format, black and white. I met him, I think, at the second convention I ever went to as Number Two Pencil Man. So I did one in Hershey, Pennsylvania in July, like shortly after the first episode released with him in it. And then I was going around. That was my second one in the costume. And I was walking through the mall and I saw his artwork. And I was just like, I was drawn to it because I'm a big cartoon kid. I grew up a lot on cartoons. I love the thick line art style. And his art really does that well. And when I saw his art, I went up to him. I started talking to him. And he'll probably tell us too, but I didn't buy anything. And I not that time at least, but I really clicked with him. Him and I, we had a really good conversation about cartoon art and line style because he does a lot of retro cartoon crossovers. So he'll take like an old character and mix it with a new one in a lot of his prints that aren't his manga. And so he and I talked about cartoons, art, all sorts of stuff. I was talking him up. And back then, you know, he was just like, who's this stranger dude talking to me in a pencil costume? He's kind of cool and everything. But yeah, it took a couple times. Like, I didn't buy anything that convention, but we became close enough friends that we followed each other on social media. He subscribed to my channel. I subscribed to his. And I found out that he was going to go to Baltimore Convention, Baltimore Comic Con that October. So I actually, because of him, went to that convention to buy his stuff this time. So I'm like, you know what? I didn't buy it last time. This time I'm going to buy his stuff.
Are you going this year?
No, this year I won't be.
No.
Unfortunately, Baltimore Con, I love like the venue that it's in because Otakon used to be there and Otakon was a big convention. Really loved it when they were held there. It's since outgrown, but yeah, to be an artist or something there, it's a little bit more than other table prices. And, you know, I understand like, cons, you know, they need to make their money to pay for the venue and everything, but it's just like I'm not that big enough yet that I'm gonna confidently be able to be like I can drop that kind of money yet. But eventually I do hope to be a part of the show. I do like their layout, and I met so many cool artists when I went there. I met like a bunch. That con, I've spent so much money on indie comics it wasn't even funny. Yeah, I'm a big indie comic dude.
I'm starting to enjoy them a lot more. Like, I read Thor and I read some mainstream, you know, Marvel DC stuff, mm-hmm. but the indie stuff's just so good and there's so much of it. And I love it all.
The only drawback is it takes us a little bit longer to produce a comic, but it's worth it. It's just like, you look at some of those veterans that are out there, they got like 6 or 7, you know that they've been invested for years, and I've been lucky we were able to push out 2 within a year. So
that's really good. When's number 3 coming?
Hopefully beginning of next year. Hopefully.
Okay.
All right. But to pull us back to that, because it kind of does tie into Frey. So Frey and I started developing a relationship over the course of a couple years where we'd see each other at conventions. It started at that one in the mall. I didn't buy anything, but we started talking. Went to the next one where I ended up buying his books. And then we just kept bumping into each other at cons. We kept kind of like messaging each other online, and we built this really solid friendship to where now he's like my best friend. And around the time that Xavier, my son, was born, him and I had started talking about a collaboration project. He actually put Number Two Pencil Man. You probably saw it in the back of the book, and I'll see if I can open it up to the page here. We started a project, so this came out before the comic. So there's this game called Official Verse. So we talked about doing a collab where he asked me if Number Two Pencil Man could be a character in the game. And so I was like, of course. I mean, I'm not going to say no to that. That's really cool. You want to include me in this cool, like, board game, trading card, hybrid game. I'm like, oh, yeah. So he put Number Two Pencil Man in the game. And so we started going to conventions together to promote the game, and I would basically be in costume and I would play the game with the people there, like the demo copy. So they got a
Yeah.
good idea of how it worked, and they got to play one of the characters in the game, and it was a really cool experience. Through that partnership, I realized how well we actually work together. Like, he balances me out so much. Where I'm like the bubbly, optimistic personality, he's a little bit more drawn, like down to earth, a little bit more, you know. I'm not going to say like and it's not a mean thing, but he's like more blunt and direct, and our styles were so different, but yet we were able to help each other so much, grow as people and as business people, that we really just formed this tight partnership, and it's been amazing to see how it's grown. And I started feeling like, hey, what if we did a comic book together? And Frey, only doing manga in the past, was so used to like the black and white format, the smaller format, that this was like going to be a whole new challenge for him, because he even told me he doesn't do superhero stuff. Like, that's not
Okay.
his like go-to thing. But after pulling his arm a little bit, you know, pulling his leg and everything, he agreed, and we set the terms at Thy Geekdom Con back in 2024. We're like, all right, let's do this. And he's the only reason I have a comic right now. He was willing to work with me. I had no budget, being a new parent, a very low budget. But because we built this friendship over the course of, at that point, about 2 years, he was like, you know what? Sorry. He was like, you know what? I want to help you with this. And he set a price that was like, I don't know how he would even do that, but he did it. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, he actually gave me a price lower than what I was willing to do for him. I'm like, no, like, you're worth more to me, and I'm going to pay you more
Right.
whenever I can. But he made me a deal, and we've honored it. He gets to sell the comic book at his table whenever we're not together. He keeps all the profit for it and everything. We
Yeah.
worked out a deal, and it's been working. Like, he agreed to do it. And within the span of, so that was May of 2024. In the span of 5 months, I had the script done for both issue one and two. I wrote them as one. And he was like, you know, this is a little long, so I'm going to split it in the middle. I'm like, you know what? That's fine. We get a little bit more content out of it. And so by October 2024, he had issue one done, which is, again, this nice, beautiful, to showcase some of his art, because he
Yeah, it's
really.
really good art.
Yeah, I am blown away with the result of how he did it. Oh yeah. And as you can tell, you've seen issue two. He only polished it in issue two. Like, it looks from issue one to
Yeah.
two, I mean, it's similar enough that you know it's the same guy drawing it, but he's developed that style even more. And you know, meeting him at a con was what really set all that into motion. I talked to him then, we built a friendship. It's really, I would say it's really important. Looking for an artist, you got to know that you can be friends with the guy. I mean, honestly, if you can't, it could still work out from a professional standpoint, but I find like
It's
if you
funny you
guys,
say it that way because
yeah.
that's exactly what I've been thinking about the last few days is when I finally made the decision a week ago to not do the artwork because that's what was holding me back the most from writing a comic. Like I have the story in my head and I've written some of it down. I've got about 2 pages in. But I was like I'm one of those people I have to do everything myself. Right? So it's like when I finally relinquished that I'm not going to do a good enough job on the artwork and I need to find an artist, that's what I was thinking though, is like I want to pay somebody to do the artwork, but I also want them to be invested enough to where they'll like sell it themselves as well. Like, so I want them to be able to continually make money on it, right? At shows. Like buy it at wholesale, sell it yourself, make the profit. I want, you know, it only helps both of us, right? And that's what I want, because even if I'm not at the, you know, if we're at different conventions, you know, it's still getting sold and out there, right? And then I was like, I'll give you this. I'm gonna write this down too to tell you about. There's another guy that you need to interview. I did one the other day with this guy. Amazing guy. He's up in Rhode Island, Connecticut
Ooh,
area.
okay.
Wrote his own, he wrote and illustrated his own comic. Awesome dude. but it was very similar. Like he gave me a cool idea too of getting people to do alternate covers. Like if I get this done, I want him to do an alternate cover for me. And I'll pay him for the cover, right? And then, but I want him to be able to sell them too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for in an artist. Do alternate covers and, you know, do different artists and stuff. I think it'll be really cool in the indie community. I really think that'd be really cool.
Yes. For issue one, I didn't get to send you that, but I actually did get another indie artist to do an alternate variant cover for me. Oh, they did such a great job. I was like, you know what? This is so cool. It was like an anime style, but it was fully colored. I'll have to send you a picture of it. I sold out of those. Yeah, that's
cool.
Like, it was a limited run.
Okay.
Oh, people loved it. And the variant covers are just nice. And for the collectors out there, and I'm finding, like, it is definitely a thing that people are willing to buy. Because I marked up my variant covers a little bit more than the regular issue. Because I'm just like, I'm only going to do maybe a couple batches of these, and then if you didn't get one, it's going to be an exclusive collector's item, because if number two Pencil Man ever takes off, people are going to be hunting for him, and it's like,
it's not
I feel that way. I just,
we have to believe in our products, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's not if this podcast takes off, it's when it takes off. So,
and it's going
to.
And, you know, it's crazy because there's a lot more stuff that I'm doing outside of comics with the character, which is also helping grow the whole comic things too. But it's like,
might as well go into that too. I mean, let's finish the artist, because the artist is phenomenal.
Phrase.
So, where does he live?
He's currently in Baltimore, but he is moving up to Pennsylvania here. So he's actually
he's not far
right now. No, it's really nice, because even before he got the job in Pennsylvania, he was only about maybe an hour and a half drive from me. It wasn't bad. We could go to a lot of the same conventions together. But now he's going to be up in York, so he's getting a place here within the next week or two. He just got a new job, so we're going to do a lot more here. We're going to probably collaborate. He agreed that we're only going to do number two Pencil Man together. As much as I love his artwork, and as much as I'd love him to write my other stories, or draw my other stories, he's got his own stuff, and his stuff is just as good. And Frey's been in the game for a long time. He's been doing this. Well, he took a little hiatus, but he's been doing the business for 5 years straight. But before then, he was doing it for a long time. Like back 10 plus years ago, him and his other friend started this, and then they kind of broke up. And so it's been nice because we've been able to redeem those like friendship dynamics for each other as well. So now we're kind of back to this, doing this together. So him and I agreed we're going to try to really amp up what we're doing in the next year once he's in the area. We're going to try to go to more bookstores, comic stores, game stores, try to get our stuff out there, see what we can make happen. Maybe collaborate on content, do more skits maybe for my channel, or do art skits for his stuff. It's amazing.
It's all out there.
It all started from talking to him.
Right. Conversation. Just never know what happens. I've got stories like that in my life. It's crazy. The game, is it out? Is it available?
Yes, so it's low quantity right now because, you know, he doesn't have like a mass production. He basically buys all the pieces separately and puts them together. So he has a couple copies left, but he's really hoping that once he gets settled in and once he starts getting caught up on a couple things, he's hoping to buy more, and we're going to put more together. And then we're really going to try to relaunch it. He's going to have another season of the game, I think, in December. So he's planning for a winter release to relaunch it with new cards, new characters. He wants to do like a season by season thing, which is really cool. It's going to be a fun project, and it's a fun game. We're learning, we're balancing it as we go, but we've gotten a lot of good feedback about it. And if I would have had it, I would have brought it up because it's got a board, it's got character cards, got deck cards.
It's amazing how well the gaming and comic community cross over, you know. Yeah. So it really, you know, which is awesome because I sold my store in 2016. Mm. And I was really getting the urge to do something entrepreneurial again, you know, it's just always been that way.
Yeah.
And this podcast is really helping fill that that void. So that's been good. And then writing the comic, I'll just be right back to where I was 9 years ago.
Oh, you start with steps. I mean, like I said, when I hit that rock bottom and had that perspective shift. It wasn't just like I started developing my creative storytelling again. It was like there were years where I had to do a lot of healing and like self love until I built myself up to a point where I'm like, you know what? I remember I used to love this and I'm gonna do this again. And I took one step and it started with like a wedding thing, actually. Like for my wife and I, we got married during the COVID time. So of course, you know, not a lot of big crowds and you can't have
Right.
more than so many people at a venue. So we kind of did like a first and second wedding. So the first one
Okay.
was all for small personal thing, like family and friends. And then we had the second one, which was supposed to be for a larger group of people. And back then, I was like, we know what, if we're doing this again, I'm going to make it interesting. So I actually wrote a whole story and I like set it in front of the whole group of people. And that's kind of like where I started to be like, I really like storytelling. I'm like, why did I ever stop? And then it got me to remember, oh, I wanted to be a YouTuber when I was a kid. And then I did YouTube. And now that number two pencil man was born out of a complete accident, freak accident, which actually worked out. And it was like, all right, now I'm leaning into this. And then it like kept unfolding. And now I have comic books. And then that leads to the next thing. And I know you wanted me to talk about that, but I don't know if you want to talk about it right now or
No,
not. But
we can and go like we can go anywhere you want to go. These questions are just a well, they say this is more of like guidelines, not, you know, the Jack Sparrow, or actually I think Barbossa said that, but
Well,
showing
it
my
ties
age here.
into it. So, I mean, it's really
Right.
funny because I went to Comic Cons. Like, after I had the first issue, I went to a couple Comic Cons, and then people started to ask me, do you do stuff for schools and libraries? And I'm like, you know what? I would, you know, I would totally do that. And they're like, oh, we're going to totally like pitch you to our principal, or we're going to pitch you to this library. We're in charge of the summer reading program. We'd love to have you. And before I knew it, I got an email from the Lancaster Library system here in Pennsylvania. And they're like, we heard about Number Two Pencil Man, and we would like to see what Number Two Pencil Man has to offer for the summer reading programs. So I was like, you know what? I have an idea. Well, this is an idea I did once before. I was invited to do like a little workshop at a cafe for Superhero Day back in 2024. This was before we officially had the comic book like fully like fleshed out that we were going to do it. But I got a couple other creative superheroes together. There's a couple more people who have their own superheroes, but not comics.
Okay,
And
they need their
we did this.
comics.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to, but they're like, you know, maybe. And I'm like, oh, they'll will. But
It'll happen.
one of them's gonna make a collab in mine. They're gonna pop up in one of the issues here. So I mean,
There
at
you
least they're
go.
getting some publicity that way. But they're so good. Like the people that come up with these characters are amazing. And we decided we're going to work together on a fun superhero experience for probably kids. It was Superhero Day at a cafe, an anime cafe. And so we all had a different idea. I had this idea of doing a craft because Number Two Pencil Man, creative superhero, you know, the defender and inspirer of creativity, I call him sometimes in my content. I found these superhero capes on Amazon and they came with stickers and they were like fully customizable superhero capes. And I'm like, you know what? Encourage people to step into their super persona through creativity. I'm like, this is genius. So I got the capes, I got the stickers, and then I also had like a bunch of other odds and ends craft things that I brought, and the kids go wild for it. Like I was so blown away. Like we only had a couple people that first time, but all the kids loved the creative process of creating the cape. And of course we had other games. The other superheroes came up with fun, like find your superpower kind of games. So we had like a scavenger hunt for detective skills, and we had like you had to reach in and guess what the object was for X-ray vision and all sorts of stuff like that. And it was a fun time, and it was such a good idea that the cafe owner started to say like you could make a business out of it. So it actually kind of got the gears going for the business, and then they gave us all the contact information for a lawyer, which helped me get all my LLC stuff in line. And that kind of like ended up as a thing. So when they approached me for the library, I'm like, you know what? I do have a workshop that we can do. Like I can get these capes, and I pitched it. I pitched it as the Number Two Pencil Man, you know, superhero workshop, and I pitched it as I did, but I improved it since then. So I didn't have the games because it's only me running it now. So it's more
Right.
focused on the creative aspect of it. But they're like, "Oh, this sounds like a great program." So they pitched me to their like, I guess they have like a system where they put all the presenters that you could choose from in a like a list, and then all the different libraries in the system go through and they choose. And out of 15 possible libraries for this first summer program, I got three of them, which is one fifth. I'm happy with that. I wasn't sure if I was going to get them all or not, and I got paid for each one. So it actually ended up
Sweet.
like they're like, how much do you want to get paid for this? You know, and it's actually really nice. And if I can get the event thing to pop up, I could support this whole
Yeah.
thing like by itself because it's a really good thing to do to like pair the comic books. Because I'll tell you, trying to just make a living off of selling retail, it's
Right.
hard. You
A
gotta like,
$5 comic book, or what are you retailing your book for?
So I do 10 because I try
Okay.
to, because it costs about that much to print it. And it's like, I try to do the double rule. And people, it's still within the budget that people can do, which is good. I don't want to be like too out of budget because I've seen people who sell like their single issues for way more than that. I'm like, that's a little tough. I want mine to be affordable, but yet I'm able to keep doing this and kind of like pay back some of that and get more because a lot of this is still going into funding itself right now. Even the library. So I did three of them. I got paid like $100 an hour because each one was for an hour presentation. Plus, I got the material costs. It was
Right.
amazing. I just finished my last one this summer. I hope it's not the last one I get to do.
Right.
It's just like you get to see the kids. They go wild when you're like, hey, you're going to become a superhero just like Number Two Pencil Man. You know, here's all the stuff that you need to create it. And they just they take their favorite cape, they take the stickers, they go up. They get the little gemstones, googly eyes, and they put it on the masks and capes, and then they're like running around. It's one of the best things ever. And what I realized
Awesome.
is it's like Number Two Pencil Man is way more than I ever thought he would ever be. Like when I first came up with the idea, it's just like, oh, this is a silly little thing, you know, like this isn't gonna go anywhere. And then it's like now it's like I'm slowly becoming a local legend and it's really weird. I'm starting to get into libraries and hopefully schools. Like if I land an assembly, that would be fantastic.
That'd
And
be
I'm
amazing.
thinking it's just about time. Like I've had people come up to me like, would you do like this thing at the schools? I'm like, oh yeah, I'd totally do it. One person at the last event I was at last week was like, we do an after school reading time in like the springtime each year, and this year's theme is superheroes. And we're like, we'd totally love you to come read your comic in front of 300 plus kids. And I'm like, well, geez, I know I would love an opportunity to do that. They're like, yeah, we bring in all of our students, we bring in all their parents, and then we have a couple guests. And I'm like, you guys want me? Like, here's my information. Like, I will
Right.
totally do it. Because I know that, like, I love writing, I love selling the comic books. But at the end of the day, like, I want to be able to do that without having to worry about how I'm going to keep doing it. So, like, to see that the idea is just kind of like, doing it's writing like as Pencil Man
It's
would say it's writing itself and it's amazing to see. I didn't know where I would end up once this whole thing started and it's wild. It's cool.
the power of a mascot is what
Yeah.
it is. Like literally, like I was go for weeks. I kept telling my daughter, "We have to come up with a mascot. We have to come up with a mascot. The podcast has to have a mascot." Because like, if you've got a mascot, you've got anything you want.
Yeah,
Like
it's branding.
Panel Pete mascot for this podcast is possibilities are endless. You know, the first thing I thought about when I saw your costume, I was like. I'm gonna have that, and there's gonna be a day that I'm at a convention, and I'm gonna have somebody dressed up in a Panel
Yeah.
Pete costume walking out. It's gonna
Yeah.
happen.
It's such a
The
good
power.
marketing strategy. It is amazing. Like, I have people, they're not necessarily buying my comics. They'll come up and they'll just talk to me and they're like, this is such a fun idea. And it's like it's a good icebreaker. I don't have to worry about like being like, hey, come buy my comics. It's like people just walk up to me like, oh, you're a pencil. I'm like, yeah, I have these comics, you know? And they'll be like, oh,
Right.
you do? That's really cool. And then it's like it sparks conversations. You get
Sparks
I
conversation. It's
have fans
inspiring.
now. Yeah, it's
Right.
weird. Like
You have a fan club.
when you start getting fans, it is a weird experience. And I love it though. It's so amazing. I have some of the best fans out there. I have people who come to
It's
cons and
awesome.
they just come to talk to me. Or I have people who message me memes on social media now. We only met like one time. I had a guy who was like my biggest fan. He's down in Maryland. He actually got me on their podcast. And it's like a 501c solar panel. Like they talk about like all sorts of things. It's called the kissing booth because they give kisses to the community in forms of like resources and stuff. He got me on there because he wouldn't stop talking about my stuff, and I encouraged him to start drawing again. And so
Right.
they actually reached out to me. It's like it's weird because the fans, they like they make the experience. Like they're your best friends. Like you can end up actually building like a relationship with these people. And I always try to treat my fans as best as I can. Like if you draw me fan art, I try to send you either a comic for free if you don't have a comic, or I try to, give you something and, try to express my thanks. And I've had people draw fan art at Number Two Pencil Man. It is cool. It is one of the coolest things. Like I am so grateful for these people in my life. I'm so grateful. And here's another thing, as a creative, you can probably relate to this. We're always like so critical of our own stuff. Like when I first started the comic book and first started Number Two Pencil Man, I had more of a mindset of people are just going to think this is stupid. Like people are going to think this is just the stupidest thing they've ever seen. And what I found out, that's not necessarily true. That's what my mind was saying to me. But I found that being brave enough to do it, there's a natural respect to that. Now, there's people that will definitely still think that you're stupid and weird, but they don't tend to come
Right,
near you and
they're gonna
stuff.
be out there. We're not gonna get
Yeah.
rid of all those people,
No.
unfortunately, but
But what I find is there's a lot
doing
more
it,
people, yeah, that love it and they come
that's
up to you and
right.
they're like, this is so cool. And it's like, man, if only like a lot of us could get over that initial hurdle in our mind that's saying, this is the stupidest, this is the worst, nobody's gonna love it. I remember when the comic book was published and I sold my first copy. I'm like, I'm going to get so much negative feedback for this. I've gotten only positive, and it's weird to me because I've been sitting here waiting. I'm like, all right, somebody's going to tell me that they didn't like it. Somebody's going to tell me it's true. I haven't gotten it yet. And it's like,
I mean, I feel
it
the same
blows
way on
my
this
mind.
podcast,
Yeah.
like I'm waiting for people to be like, oh, this is stupid or this is horrible or
Well, this
whatever.
is
But
great.
most of the feedback I've gotten, I mean, I don't think I've gotten any negative feedback, but everything I've gotten has been pretty good. They love, it's really cool when people reach out to me
Yeah.
and they're like, oh, I want to be on, or we love what you're doing. I had a comic, I had a printer company reach out to me.
That's awesome.
And they're like, man, we love what, like, we looked at your stuff and it's like, you look like you make the guests feel so comfortable, but we don't want to be on camera. So I'm still talking to them, trying to get them on here. But none of us want to be on camera. I'm like, somebody's got to pick. Like, I didn't want to be on camera 6 months ago either, but here I am.
Yeah. Yep.
Now I love it. So
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all.
And that is very true what they say. You are really easy
Sorry.
to talk to. So.
Oh, well, thanks. I try. I'm very extroverted, right?
Oh,
And
yeah.
this is, since COVID, I've kind of been the opposite. Like, I have a, my friend group's a lot smaller. Everything's just, I don't know. I haven't been as extroverted as I need to be. I was going, just through a lot of stuff too,
Yeah.
life stuff and kind of like you talked about in the beginning, and I'm still not all the way out of that, right? So I'm getting there, and this podcast is definitely
Oh, yeah.
helping, right? And I'm loving that, and like I'm ready to get back out there and do more things and do some fun stuff. So,
Oh, this is awesome. I'm
and
excited for you.
writing a comic book? What? Like, I know
Yeah.
this is not me. I don't know. No, that's not me.
You
I don't know where the hell that's
can do
coming from.
anything, man. I mean, I'm excited to
Exactly.
read
I'm a
it.
superhero. I can
Yeah.
do anything, which is true. Like, and I'm, it's crazy that the idea popped in my head and I'm going to write it. And now I just got to find an artist. So we're going to
You
do
will.
conventions and all that
Oh, yeah.
fun stuff. So, well, let's talk about the comic. So I got to say, I ask everybody, like you said yesterday in the email,
Yeah.
can I send you something? I'm like, yeah, please, send me a copy. And, they'll send me two, three, four, five things. Normally I just read one thing, like one comic book or one, whatever they send me. And that's what we'll talk about. And I'll ask them about the other stuff. Well, I read yours and I laughed out loud the whole time. And I was like, well, crap. Now I got to read number two. So I actually ended up reading both today, this
Oh,
morning or this
that's
afternoon,
a
early
huge honor.
afternoon. It was just that good. Like I was laughing out loud and just like, and I think it was like, just the story. I mean, my favorite part ever was the eraser hitting the guy. That one scene. I was like, that's fantastic. And then I was like, well, I'm gonna read the second one, and it was just as good. So I love the
I'm
artwork. I
glad.
love the coloring, the bright colors, and
Yeah.
everything. It was really good. And I love that you said that that's a real story that the guy sat on the
Yep.
pencil, and that's amazing.
Oh,
So
yeah.
talk about it. Like, what's your favorite part about the book?
Oh, man. So, I'm gonna try. It's hard to pick out a favorite because
Okay.
I still remember when I came up with this idea for like a story, and that was back in the YouTube day. Like I said, the pilot for this, is on YouTube. Definitely not as well done as the comic book version, but
Right.
it's out there. People can still see it. And I just remember, I'm like, you know what? I want a story that's going to stand out. Like, I got a pencil superhero. What are his powers? And of course, the eraser and the point. It stands out to me. It's like, okay, so we got an eraser. He can erase things. He can erase things from existence. All right, cool. How are we going to have this play out? And I'm like, well, you know, I could do this or that. And I'm like, how about we go with the traditional robbery trope? It's the spoilers for anybody who's hasn't read it
It's
yet.
not read it yet.
But it is on YouTube, so you can watch, you can pause it and you can watch it and kind of have an idea how this is. But I was like, you know what?
After
A
you
robbery.
subscribe to this channel
Yeah.
first.
Of course, subscribe to this channel first and then go subscribe to my channel.
And then go subscribe to his channel, then you can go watch
Yeah,
it.
then go watch it. But I just remember, I'm like, you know what? We'll go with the robbery trope. So we're like, purse snatcher. Okay. And the story changed so much from the first draft because originally I was going to be like, okay, so he's just wandering out of the park, patrolling, you know, trying to be that superhero guy. He has these powers. He doesn't know when they're going to awaken. He always, like, believed that he was a superhero after he got turned into a pencil. I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this? And I'm like, okay, the purse snatcher. And he's just going to accidentally trip and he's going to end up erasing the guy. You know, it's fantastic. And
Yes.
originally, the original version was going to be, then he's going to see a homeless guy and the homeless guy is hungry. So he's going to draw a sandwich for the guy. And I'm like, you know what? That doesn't sound as fun. So I'm like, how about the lady that gets purse snatched is on her way to a game of picture charades? I'm like, picture charades. It matches with the pencil theme, you know, the whole drawing thing. And then they get to the picture charades competition and the pencil gets stolen. So
It's
then he ends up,
stolen.
it's stolen, yes, because it's going to tie into our first big bad group. And I'm super excited to get into that because I've been sitting on this for years. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so
Like
he
we're
ends
gonna
up.
talk about it now, or we're gonna you're working on
I
releasing
can
it.
give you guys a little sneak preview of
Okay.
what's to come. You guys will get an insider look, first time I've ever talked about it publicly, about where the story's going. So the pencil gets stolen, so they can't play the game, but Pencil Man is there. He's a giant pencil. So he'll volunteer to draw. And I'm like, okay, well, this is where the drawing power is going to come in because what he draws comes to life. And if you've seen the video, we cut a couple things out of the comic to make it flow a little bit more, and it wasn't just so run on. But before they get to the picture charades competition, you see Billy, Greg, Brian, Jeff, and of course Carl Danger. They're all in an argument about a movie, and they can't remember what the movie was about. If it was about gorillas, apes, or monkeys. So the three of them are bickering back and forth about that. And so, of course, when Pencil Man goes to draw, you know, carry that on to the drawing. So Pencil Man knows it's a gorilla. He draws a gorilla, but he doesn't know that what he draws comes to life. So the gorilla ends up coming out of the canvas and wreaking havoc on the whole game of picture charades. I'm not going to go into all the dialogue, but it gets
Right.
pretty crazy. So from the purse snatcher to the origin of the gorilla here, and of course the gorilla's going to be coming back. So don't think you've seen the last of the gorilla. It's going to be a great element to the story coming going forward. But it's just like when I came up with that idea, I'm like, you know what? This is so different. It stands out, and I really like this. So I made it into the video, and of course I touched it up to be a little bit more how I want it to in the comic. So of course you have the gorilla when you throw the banana, he doesn't just walk away like in the video. He's like, oh, banana, and just walks off. No, he ends up jumping into a river and getting swept away, and it's like, this is cool. And then of course that leads us into the tie-in with the pencil thief. And so it's like I remember just coming up with the whole storyline for this origin story, and I'm just like, you know what? This is different. It's fun, it's lighthearted, which is what I wanted number two Pencil Man to be. Like I wanted that fun, quirky superhero story with a superhero that everybody can fall in love with because he's got that naivety, however you say it. He's got that like wishy wanting to be a superhero, trying to have the best interests of the people at heart, but then being clumsy at the same time and not really understanding that, oh man, he actually does have powers now, and how is this going to tie in? So it's like, I wanted to write that, and it actually translated exactly how I wanted it to. And just coming up with that process, like, that's my favorite part. Like, and of course, Frey's artwork just brings it to life. Like you said, the vibrant colors were what I always wanted. I'm a big color guy. I love
Yeah.
vibrant, bright colors. As you can see, that my Tanner's Tales logo has so many different colors in it. It's just, I love it. And Frey captured it beautifully. So seeing it drawn as opposed to on the screen, it just blows me away. So I'd say like the
That's
whole creative process is my favorite.
so what's so I can actually get into some of my questions about that,
Yeah.
which is funny. But what's the biggest creative challenge you had?
Oh man, so I'd say the biggest thing was because I've never really been as good at putting my thoughts to paper. Like a lot of the ways that I made my videos before I started scripting was just like I see it in my head, and I was like a theater of the mind director. So whenever we had the camera, I'd say, "This is what I see," and I didn't have it written down. So when I started writing, like I felt like my writing skills were not up to par with what the chat like the challenge of what I was trying to create was. And thankfully for me, my wife is an English major, so she was able to help me out big time with like how I can structure it. And I did a lot of learning. And yeah, I'd say like the learning curve was such a challenge for me, learning how to be more of a writer, because before I used to be more of a drawer. And because carpal tunnel sucks, now I am mostly limited to writing. And I can draw some things, but my drawing is not as good for a comic. And I had to come to that point where you said, like, I'm not as good enough to draw this. Like, I have stuff that I illustrate it and everything. But yeah, so the
Yeah, I'm not good
whole
enough for that.
figuring out how to
I mean, I
write
could
was a
put the
challenge.
time in, but do I really
Yeah.
want I could put the time in, I could do it, but it would take so much longer than if I just hired an artist to do it. And like,
Yeah.
I don't know what got me to click, but it's like so many other books that you read, comics you read, very few people are doing all of it, right? Very few. You got the
Yeah.
writer and you got the illustrator, and then you even got like colorists and letterers and inkers
I
and
was lucky
like
to find one that did it all.
right, so it's I at least need to go at least that route, right? So I mean, even if I had to letter it, I could letter it, with Illustrator and stuff like that. I could do that part easy, but I'm not doing the artwork.
Yeah, the whole writing thing was definitely like the biggest challenge for me, though, going back to that. So,
Well, right, and I can see that for me too. It's like I'm not a writer. I'm not. But I'm writing it. It'll be fine. And I'll have to have an editor that'll, put it all together correctly, to make sense.
My
'Cause
wife
that's
can
my
help.
problem visually. I've got it where I want it in my head, but trying to put that on paper and I keep going back and forth and yeah, it's gonna take me a while, but that's okay.
I get that.
What is your who's your biggest influence? Like creator influence that's
Oh
influenced
man.
you?
I have always been terrible with names, but I can go with like the games and the TV shows and the cartoons that inspired me, because I was more growing up, I was more of a cartoon and video game person. I was a huge lover of Nintendo. Nintendo, of course, focused more on family-friendly gaming and content, had characters that were vibrant. We all see Mario. He's got the bright red, blue, even Link has like the bright green tunic, and like they've always been good with like bright colors and fun storylines. Like I felt like Nintendo back growing up was my favorite video game franchise for stories, because they always told an imaginative, bigger than life story, and I loved how they did that. And then I loved the storytelling of like cartoons. I grew up watching Cartoon Network a lot. Now, the shows that I had were more in like the early 2000s, so I was like Codename Kids Next Door. I saw like some of the stuff of like Dexter's Laboratory. So I caught some of those older
Love
cartoons, but it was
Dexter.
more, oh yeah, I loved watching
Well, when you have a
Dexter.
kid, so I had a kid in 2001, so it I got to watch a lot of those cool cartoons,
So
but I had
you,
a kid, so I had a good excuse. So
But the cartoons were
Fairly
so
Odd Parents
good.
was probably my favorite.
Yes,
Fairly Odd
yes.
Parents.
Oh
I
yeah,
love
I was a
those.
big Cartoon Network guy for a long time, and then after a while, Cartoon Network started to not really appeal to me as much. And then I started watching like Nick, and I even watched a couple of Disney shows here and there. But I was always a big fan of the cartoon shows that had those fun characters. Cartoons did something fantastic. They were able to appeal to the kids, keep them entertained, but then they also did something because you're a parent. You were sitting there watching them with the kids. They made it that you could enjoy it too. And that's like the genius of cartoons, because if the kids are going to watch it, the parents are going to end up watching it. So you might as well make it enjoyable for both. So I was like
SpongeBob
inspired.
was amazing for doing that, like catering to the parents. That's
Had
crazy.
all that adult humor in it, and yet the kids were just, they it went right over their head. And
Right?
So that's what I like was
Until
really
my daughter
inspired by.
started walking around the house spitting every other word for like a week, and I was like, "Where did you get this?" And she's, and then I finally saw the episode. And I'm like, "Damn you, SpongeBob!"
Oh man, yeah, I love SpongeBob, but I was like
It was
really
great.
into the shows with more like storyline. So like one of my favorites as a kid was like the original run of Teen Titans on Cartoon Network.
Okay.
I loved it. The way that they did their storytelling with their cartoon was more like an anime style. So that was like probably one of the biggest in like inspirations for my style of storytelling for like I took what I loved most about all those cartoons, all those video games, and I just put my own little spin on it. Or tried to, I should say.
No, that's awesome. I mean, that's what influenced you. That's nothing wrong with that. Do you put any Easter eggs in your books? Is there any in there?
I actually have an Easter egg to Frey in my first book. You might have seen
Sweet.
it in the flashback scene. I'll see if I can pull it up here. It might be a little hard to see. But since he was my artist, I'm like, dude, put a little nod to yourself in there. Like, make me read like your book. So when I'm reading the book up top there, that's actually
Yeah.
his manga series Endlock. So
Oh, that's
there is
awesome.
like the little Easter egg in there. I decided early on I was going to mostly reference other indie creators' works as like Easter eggs, be like to build up the indie community more, be like, I'm gonna put this character in as reference to this person. And
That's a great idea.
so that's what I want to do. So like even if you wanted to have a collab in it one day, I could have something of your mascot in there or just something to nod
Yeah.
to you. I'm hoping like as I get connected to more indies, I can put more Easter eggs for them in. So
Right.
that's the hope.
Well, one of the scenes, so this is that's where this one of the scenes in my comic book's gonna have, they're gonna be in a comic shop, right? And I mean, imagine how many comics I could have on a comic shop wall, and the all the day gone, I could have Pencil Man, I could have everybody that I've
You have
interviewed.
my permission to
So,
definitely throw Pencil Man
oh,
in there.
well, it's recorded, so no, but
You have
yeah, I
my
mean, that's
consent.
something I gotta write that down actually, because that's a No, that's perfect.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. Like, I love the mainstream and everything too, but it's just like
Yeah.
I want to do something different.
Well,
Like,
and then,
everybody gets that.
Marvel's not going to give me permission to put Thor on a cover of
Yeah,
my
no.
comic book, you know? They're
You could
not
do
going to do it.
knockoff Thor, but that's about as good
Yeah.
as you can get.
He's got a I don't even know, like a ball peen hammer instead of
Yeah. I
Mjolnir,
am Tor. Tor.
but I am No, it's poor.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh man. So you have two issues. Obviously, Pencil Man is the main character, but is he your fa he's probably your favorite character, isn't he? He's got to be.
So
Or do you
the
have another
reason,
fa All right, let's take him out of it. Who's
yeah.
your favorite character other than number two Pencil Man?
So just to go back to number two Pencil Man just for a brief, I resonate a lot with him because I kind of am the character. So that's why like he would be like my all-time favorite because I just it's hard
Yeah.
to separate me from him. But for my second
Makes sense.
favorite,
And you gotta love yourself, right?
yeah, absolutely. And I was like, you know what? If I'm the main character in my life, I can be the main character in my story. So that's what I did.
That's right.
But if I
I'm
had to
gonna
pick a
be the
second
owner
favorite,
of the comic shop in mine, so I'm gonna
yeah,
be
well,
sitting
there you
behind the
go.
counter.
Perfect. And if I had to go choose a second character, I'm looking at the book here. I'm like, it's tough because I know the plans I have for each of the characters.
Right.
So it's like, do I talk about my favorite currently? If that's the case, my favorite currently is Officer Sweets besides Pencil Man. I love. He's that derpy cop. He's got the ability to summon donuts out of nowhere, of course, stereotypical cop trope, but he's always so
Right.
clumsy, but he tries so hard, and of course he's going to play like a bigger role. Like moving
Right.
into issue 3 and beyond, you're going to see a lot of these characters make a return. So of course you got Officer Sweets, Violet Boyd, Carl Danger, they're all going to play like bigger roles. But I gotta say, my favorite character, what I have plans for currently, is the gorilla because his plans, I'm super excited for him.
All right, so what's the insider
So,
information?
this is spoilers for anybody. So if you don't
Spoiler
wanna like,
alert.
if you don't wanna have like the future like spoiled for you, probably tune out of this section. But Moving forward with the pencil thief idea, I had this idea 3 years ago to introduce the first big bad as a pen. He's a pen character. But he's not just any pen. He's a mafia pen crime lord. And his
I
name is
love
Benjamin.
it.
And
Benjamin.
he's the leader of the Ballpoint Brotherhood. Of course, you need to have a criminal syndicate name. And their goal is to get rid of all pencils because they think pens are superior. So what we're leading up to is a whole showdown with Benjamin to tie off the first arc before going into the greater story with the bigger storylines. And yeah, we're gonna have a lot. Like, he's not the main nemesis. There's actually a bigger one out there.
Right,
But
but I could see like you at a booth at a convention in costume, and then out of nowhere comes Benjamin around the corner in like an epic fight or something. That would
Yes.
be phenomenal.
We were going to do a live action of that one, but that was around the time that my son was due, and we couldn't get all the schedules to line up. Like, we had a cool, like, warehouse that we were going to shoot it in. It was like
Oh,
a
sweet.
fallout shelter, so it had the big, thick doors. And of course, that was going to tie into the story of the radioactive pencil, because where did the radioactive pencil come from? You know, that was going to tie into the lore of that company, what happened to them, and then it was going to, like, really open up into the big universe of what, like, I have plans for this. I have the ending already planned out. I know how the whole series is going to end. It's going to have a lot of different things to lead up to it, but I'm very ambitious with my storytelling. It's going to tie into all the other stories of Tanner's Tales Entertainment, so there's going to be a lot of crossing of the other characters and stories I'm going to have. It's going to be a big storyline, but Number Two Pencil Man is the mascot of my company, so I'm like, he's got to have the biggest, coolest story of my entire franchise. Like, that is just hands down how I'm doing it. So yeah, it's going to start with the origin story, the fight with Benjamin, and then it's like, yeah, it's only getting started from there.
So you mentioned, so you have other characters. Do you have any other books out yet or no?
So, me and my wife are collaborating on a character. I actually have some merch of her, but not very many. I have a design. We are working on a character that is also family friendly. It's a fairy superhero character called Glee, the Fairy of Fun. We are currently in the process of writing that together. So we're going to write that one together. We're going to have to find a different artist for that one, but Glee will be one of the characters that we'll be crossing into Number Two Pencil Man.
Sweet.
And that's like the next book I'm going to go into. Of course, I have a bunch more ideas, but I'm like, how many can I realistically get out currently? I'm like, until this starts to blow up, I can only do so much at a time. So,
Right.
like, we're going to focus here first, and then we're going to, build up the rest as we go.
We
So,
just gotta slowly monetize, you know.
yep.
I don't need to be rich. I've said this before. I don't need to be rich. I just need to survive.
Yep.
So I
I
like
want to
to
be able
eat.
to make this my thing and to just enjoy work every day. Like, that's my goal. I'm like, I want to make an impact on the world in any positive way that I can, and then I also want to be able to do something that I love, and I'm
Well, that
very
leads
passionate.
us to the inspiration part of this, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, I have my questions, but we've already touched on it. But
Yeah, we talked a lot about
it's
these
like,
things.
right, what do you want readers to feel like when or take away when they finish an issue? Like, and I love at the end how it reminds me of like the old He-Man cartoons, or there's a bunch of them that did it, but at the end they would have a little blurb of, you know,
Yeah.
remember kids, you know, don't do this, or you know, don't do
Yep.
drugs, you know. But you have that like last page of your book, both issues, just has that
Yes.
little inspirational, you can be anything you want to be,
See if
you
I can
know.
pull it up here. Because that was.
I actually am going to read
Are you?
the one from, was it one of them? I think I'm gonna read the first, it was either the first, I think it was the first one. I'm gonna read that in my meeting tomorrow morning at work.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Because
Yeah,
we read this book called The Energy Bus. I have it right here. We have a book club at work. So I
That's
read this
fun.
book, The Energy Bus. And
Okay.
it talks about you drive your own bus, right? And you know, you can invite people on your bus, but not everybody's gonna be on your bus. And you know, it's supposed to motivate you. Like, there's some people's bus at work I'm not getting on. You know, I don't care if that they invite,
I
I'll
get
burn their
that.
bus ticket.
Yeah.
But you know, I've invited other people on my bus that I need on my bus that won't get on my bus. So, but the one, the last chapter we read, and they're short chapters, don't tell anybody I said that. I get in trouble if we talk about the length of the chapters. But they're like two and three page chapters. But the last title was Energy Vampire.
Mm.
Yeah, stay away from people that suck the energy out of your room.
Yeah.
You know, but that was, anyway, that was a long story, side tangent of tomorrow morning. I'm going to read one of your quotes in the bus meeting. So
thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So to tie into that. So I already kind of told you the story. I lost my creative spark and then I started to find it again. What I realized was people are most alive when they are pursuing something that they're passionate about, something that they really love. And a lot of that has to do with creating things. And a lot of people might argue that they're not a creator, they're not an artist or writer, but you don't have to be. So something that I've learned over time is that the very essence of creation is choice. If you can choose, you can create. And you are actively creating when you choose something. And I always go back to this idea of hot dog or hamburger. If I eat a hot dog, I chose a reality where I had a hot dog instead of a hamburger. But if I ate a hamburger, it splits all these different timelines. So there's so many things like choice splits timelines, you know, all that. If you want to get into like the Marvel timeline stuff, you know, personally, it's kind of real because you choose a reality in which you do something where if you didn't do it, there was a whole different reality where you didn't. Like there was a whole reality where I didn't meet you.
Right.
And it's crazy to think about. And people don't understand like just how powerful a choice can be. And so I always say everybody's a creator at nature, and it's just going back and finding that. And a lot of that comes out when you believe in yourself, when you start to love yourself again, when you see yourself as the amazing person that you are with all these amazing abilities and powers, because it is a superpower. Creating is a superpower. You can actually influence the world without even realizing it, because that's how powerful you are with creating anything. And people, you know, they are so down on themselves, the way that society has like been like, you know, working your 9 to 5. If you have a job that you don't like, it sucks the life out of you. It really starts to make you feel like there's no reason to go on. There's no purpose in life. And what I found was that there is, and that is in finding our self-worth and reviving our creative spark, our dreams. Our dreams are really those things, you know, those are our passions. Those are what we are meant to do. And it's just like finding ways that I can help inspire and encourage other people to find their own way and to believe that they can do it. That is what I want Number Two Pencil Man to do. And if you watch some of my other content on like TikTok and on my Instagram, I do try to do little pencil pep talks. I actually gave like motivational speeches at conventions before. So I try to find ways that I can give back and also help encourage people, because there are just so many people out there who really just, they hate their life. They don't see a purpose in going and doing these things, and they get lost in the motion and then they just lose themselves. And I hate to see it because I know what it's like to be there. It's the most miserable place that somebody can be. And it leads to all these unhealthy habits. If you stay there for so long, that will only like drive it further home. And it's something that I want to at least try to do something about. So with the blurbs at the end of the comic, some of those are actually, the first one I know from issue 1 was taken from one of my videos directly. I didn't know Frey was going to do that in the back of the comic, but I really loved it. He put that whole quote, he took one of my videos and just basically transcribed it. And then for issue 2, I wrote a whole new one to put at the end of that. So, you know, even if people aren't as into the self-help motivational things, but they love a fun story, I was able to put that in at the end, and it's something that they're going to read and see, and hopefully, you know, it'll
help
remind them. Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping for.
No, and I forget which one it was now. I have to go back and read both of them again. But, you know, it's like, one, I felt it, you know, like we've been talking, like the whole, I've been there, lived through it.
Yeah.
Living through it. So we talked about that. We talked about your, so if you could have another, like, dream collaborator, who would it be?
Oh, man.
It's hard to compete with what you already got.
I know. My artist is great, but I've also met so many other indie creators. There's a guy, you might have interviewed him, I'm not sure. He is part of Homebrewed Comics. Dan Price.
Chris?
He writes, it's his other partner. He writes Bigfoot Knows Karate. It'd be fun to do a collab with him.
Chris was the first one that I interviewed. The very first interview was Chris.
That's awesome. I have yet to interview him, but we've talked.
He was phenomenal. But I'm going to interview Dan probably too, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Dan was awesome. He's a veteran in the whole like industry. Learning his like perspective on cons and stuff was so enlightening.
Yeah.
But I love his
Okay.
concept of Bigfoot,
I need to
knowing
reach out to
karate.
Dane,
Oh
right?
yeah, I think it'd be fun if like Bigfoot took Number Two Pencil Man on like a fun training arc. But
Yes.
there's so many other indie creators out there that have so many fun characters that I'd love to work with. There's a guy who is actually from my area. He writes a superhero story called Spork Man, and he actually has more comics out than I do. He's been doing it a lot longer. And for him, it started with a costume as well. Like he was at a con, and a bunch of his friends started talking
Awesome.
about what's the most ridiculous superhero you could come up with. And he came up with Spork Man. So it's a guy with a big spork on his head. It looks like a Power
Yeah.
Ranger. It's amazing, and his stories are good, and he's like got the same personality as Number Two Pencil Man. And I'm like, it would be so cool if him and I could do like a fun little crossover comic or a collab.
Yeah.
I'd love to be like on the team with Spork Man. Like he's probably my biggest inspiration that I know in like real life. But like
Yeah.
Dan Price, I'd love to have Bigfoot too. So yeah, there's a lot.
Well, I haven't read Bigfoot yet. I got to read I read some of the homebrew Chris's book
Yeah.
because he sent it to me for the, you know, preparation of the interview. But you know, they're coming out like in stores in
Yeah.
October. So I've
See,
got them on my pull
that's
list already,
gold.
so all of their books, the
Yeah.
homebrew books. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So many amazing indie creators. So it's hard to just say
Right?
like one or two,
And
even if
they're
I
like,
could. Yeah, I would like collab with all of them.
yeah, collab with them. And have you thought about getting your book tried to put in stores, or are you in
I've
any
been
stores?
I do a lot of word of mouth right now, so I
Okay.
go to a lot of local stores and I do like deals with them in person. So I have at least two stores that my books are in currently, and I
Sweet.
basically am the contact and everything for that. So if they need
Right.
more books, I just go and I give them some more, and we work with like commission rates and stuff, but nothing as official as what they got. Their deal with like getting it with that comic like website,
Yeah, I think they're in
that's it.
Luna distribution, so which
Yeah.
is huge. So, I mean, that's
You love to
amazing.
see it though. When indie comics are
Oh, heck yeah.
successful, it's really encouraging. So,
It's
yeah.
very, yeah, I love it.
Hopefully one
That
day.
he had my favorite quote. Like I asked him, I was like, how long it took him to create, like, 'cause he did all, Chris did everything himself.
Yeah.
It was 3,000 hours, he said, to create his comic book. That's
That's
insane.
dedication.
So,
I love it.
and that's another reason I was like, do I want to put 3,000 hours into learning how to draw? Because I'm gonna have to put 5,000 hours into learning to draw
Yeah.
before I can start the 3,000 hours of drawing my comic. Jeez.
I understand
What's
that.
one thing that's like at the indie level that you wish you knew, that you know now that you wish you knew when you started?
Oh man. I know you probably get this answer a lot, but just how much work it was going to be, like balancing my own 9 to 5 and then trying to figure out how to market. Like I fall behind in the marketing department because I'm not as consistent as I could be. And it's like you are your biggest team. You are your only team as an indie creator, which is hence the name independent, but you don't have to be. And that's something that I'm learning. Like with my collaboration with the Dreamscape Empyrean, my group of friends, I'm learning that we can all band together and help each other out, which at least lightens the load at least a good little bit. But
Little
it's
bit.
still like at the end of the day, the amount of time that you're going to put into it, and it's all worth it. I want to preface with that because it
Oh yeah,
is.
100%.
Like, I
It's
don't
not
regret a
complaining
single
because I say
hour.
the same thing. I don't regret it, but it is a lot of work I put into this podcast. It's a lot scheduling, editing, recording. Recording's the easy part, almost, right? Almost the easiest part. Then it's the editing, the creating the clips, uploading the clip. Like, I mean, it's so much work. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, no, it's the best journey ever. If I could, like, if I had this as my full-time job and I didn't have to worry about a 9 to 5, I would be thriving. Like, I would be able to balance it so much better. But finding the work-life balance with the other work and the other life, and
Right.
it's a lot of work. And
Family, kids, yeah.
I guess I was hoping, well, I guess idealistically, my thinking back then was I'm going to take off right away, and then it's going to get easier. And I'm like, no, it's going to take some time. But you know what? I'm in it for the journey. And honestly, I feel like if I was to just become viral overnight, I would be crushed under the weight of it. Like
Right.
now, building it up slowly, I'm able to take my time. I'm able to get my bearings. I'm able to learn the next skill without having to feel a pressure to fulfill a deadline or anything like that. Like I have my
Right.
fans and they're asking me when's the next book coming out, when's this, when's that, but that's not like I'm being crushed by 10,000 people all at once, being like, blah, 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 you need to do this and that. And maybe one day, but at that point, I'll be able to handle it. So it's like knowing
that
it's
a gradual. Right. And if it's 10,000 people waiting for it, then you have like, at that point, you're
probably able to do it.
You're not having the nine, that is your nine to five. Right.
Yeah.
So, what advice would you give aspiring creators? We've already said several things, I'm sure, but pick another thing.
Another thing is just believe that you can. Like, a lot of people have so many doubts. I know I touched on this before, but I think it's really important. Everybody who has that creative spark in them, you're going to doubt yourself. But, you know, you're worth taking a chance on yourself. You're worth it because nobody else is going to think that you are without you believing first. If you show the world that you believe that you're worth it, you take the time, at least take one step whenever you can towards it, you're going to find that it's going to become easier and easier and easier. Before you know it, you're going to find yourself just, it's hard to explain, but you're going to find opportunities just open up, and it's crazy how it happens. And people are probably like, oh, yeah, that's what you guys say. But it's so true. If you put yourself out there, if you believe in your ability, if you are.
Follow Gary Vee. Yeah. Just listen to. You ever listen to Gary Vee?
He sounds very familiar, so there's a good chance I probably have.
He's out of New York, but he's very motivational. You know, worked in a wine store for his dad or something, but now owns this like media empire.
Yeah.
But he puts out a whole ton of content.
Yeah.
And it's all like. Just freaking do it. Like, take your phone out, record a, I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah.
Just do it, right? Episode one looked like crap. Episode 20, 30, whatever this is going to be is, you know, better.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, that's the key to it. You know, you get better as you go. And so to judge yourself at before you even start is unfair to you and unfair to where you can be and all your unlimited potential, because you are an unlimitedly powerful creative being. It's just in our nature. It's who we are. And so I would say believe in yourself, take a chance, give yourself that chance, because
and do
if
it.
You don't, it's going to slip away. But it never does, because it always gives you more and more opportunities. But if you continue to, you know, push it aside, then eventually it might. But it's never too
I still
late.
Find myself struggling to like do some things, like going to a convention today, like was I going for myself or was I going for the podcast? Like, you know, ended up talking to like two people about the podcast. It wasn't my main purpose of going there, but it should have been, I think. I should have done more of that, but it's fine. We'll get there, you know.
You learn as you go.
You learn as you go. I'm waiting to get a booth. We'll get a booth one day. We'll do a booth together somewhere. That'd be fun.
That'd be cool.
We split the cost. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Where can we get your book? Like,
yes.
Do you have a website or?
Yes. So I can tell you all about that. A lot of it up until now has been mostly like in person at different conventions across Pennsylvania and some in Maryland and New Jersey. I'm actually doing Delaware this coming weekend. So that'll be a whole new territory. But I just got a website at the end of December and it has my comic books on there. I don't have my other merch on there yet, but it's mostly my comics. I had them available both in digital and physical format. Of course, limited quantity because I have to print them in smaller batches right now currently. They're available on my website, TannersTalesEntertainment.com. And yeah, you can even reach out to me directly if you would like, and we can work something out that way. But everything's on there, at least comic-wise. So if you're not a physical person, you can get...
What other merch do you have?
So currently I have keychains, buttons, stickers, I have some standees, I have a couple t-shirts, I got to get more printed off. I'm working on 3D prints. I actually have like a 3D printed number 2 pencil man that I have. I
saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, those are really cool. Those are my newest thing. And I'm trying to think outside the box. So I'm trying to incorporate different things, stationary things. So I have like a couple of these left. I have some sticky note holders that you can like put on your fridge, and they have like a number 2 pencil man on the front. They're refillable, so you can just pull out the sticky note, put new ones in when you run out. It's like a little pen or pencil holder on the side. Yeah, cool. I'm trying to branch out into different avenues.
Yeah. So let's touch real quick on the Dreamscape.
Empyrean.
Empyrean. I can't read my writing after.
It's all right. Of course, as we mentioned a couple times earlier, I'm also the main host of our podcast on the Dreamscape Empyrean page, and that is called Indie Synergy Exchange. It is a podcast where we basically give the spotlight to various indie creators of all kinds. You heard me say it a little bit earlier on, but we talk to authors, poets, comic book creators, artists, businesses, wrestlers, clowns,
Musicians, everything.
musicians, basically anything that can be done indie, we give the spotlight to. We're on episode 26. We just released 26 the other
Awesome.
day. It's normally four co-hosts, so I'm just one, but I'm kind of the main since I'm the main extrovert of the group. They've all elected me as the face. I originally wanted to be like, oh, we're all on the same level. They're like, no, you're gonna be the main
No.
guy. And I'm like, all right, I guess that's fine. But that's our podcast. We got lots of other plans for the Dreamscape. We're hoping to branch out into different content, maybe our own magazine at some point. Kind
Sweet.
of like a big, we want to become a group that is able to supply people who have dreams with resources and different things that can help them get their dreams out there, which is part of the name, the Dreamscape. So that's our goal for right now, but we started with our podcast, which is up on YouTube primarily. So you can see us on there. And of course,
Sweet.
you'll see me talk to a bunch of people. I'm not as good of an interviewer as AJ is, but
Wow, thanks.
I am
I don't know
getting
about
there.
that, but I just talk to people. I just like talking. So,
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
That's
and
my
I'm
philosophy.
getting better for sure. It's, I was so nervous that first one. It was so bad. I called a buddy of mine. I was talking to him about it. And he's like, but he actually watches every episode and critiques me, which is good for me. And so he gives me good feedback. And, so I'm getting better, but I
Oh, yeah.
appreciate that. I
I
really
gotta
do.
say, because
So I appreciate that.
oh, yeah. We all
What
get better.
else? Here's your chance. Here's your turn. We talked about this question earlier, but what else do we need to talk about? I feel like we could go another 2 hours, but
I
we'll
know.
have to do this again.
Yes.
But right now, what is something that is there something that we need to talk about that we missed or didn't I didn't ask?
Man, I gotta say what the other guy said. You did such a good job. You're very thorough with questions. We got on like different avenues of different things to
Yeah,
talk
my
about.
paper is not usually this scribbled. So,
Well, that's a
but
good thing. It's like,
yeah,
oh man,
so
there's
many
so
different
many
notes
questions.
and things, and I feel like I missed stuff too. So, I mean, I want to, I definitely want to do this again. I would love to do like some kind of collab podcast or
Yeah.
something. I had this idea, or I was talking to somebody about this idea of trying to find other podcasts, similar podcasts in the same area, like
That'd be
yours.
so awesome.
Is like we just do like a dual episode, like we
Yes.
both do an intro for ourselves and then just do an episode together,
Yes.
So I don't know, something we could think about it, try, we could try it. I'd love
Absolutely.
to try it one day. And if it's trash, it's crap, we just throw it away, we
No,
release it
it would be
anyway.
awesome. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. We don't delete stuff here.
Yeah,
We keep
there's
everything
no
in.
trash. There's no
Yeah,
trash.
I mean, to go back to that question though, I think if there's one last thing I could say to people is if you're listening to this, you're into comics and you don't necessarily go the indie comics route, I'd say give your indies a chance. Go check
For
out
sure.
the indie comics, because I remember my first Comic-Con. Back then, I was trying to be that cool guy who was going for the latest Marvel and all the collectible DC issues. But then I remember when I stumbled upon my first indie comic, and I have
Which was
never.
that? Which was what was it?
It's been so long. I wish I could remember the name of it. It was this graphic novel, actually. It was like a superhero graphic novel. And I wish I could remember. I probably have it in a box somewhere, it stored away. But I just remember reading it and just thinking, these people are at these conventions with their own books. How amazing is that? I'm like, I can't get that at a comic book store in my area. Back then, that was
Not
like
usually.
10 years ago when I like found my first indie comic, but I have never. And like, I like Marvel and stuff to this day, but it's been hard for me to go back and read it. Like, the stuff that the indie comics are putting out there are amazing. And there's
They're
such a
so
wide
good.
variety of it. And if you don't like pencil superheroes, of course, there's other stuff out there, like Bigfoot fighting,
Right.
like with karate and like a
Yeah,
sports
Bigfoot.
superhero, or like just all these different storylines. And there's so much to be seen and read. And it's just like, give them a chance. Like, if you have been on the mainstream boat for a long time, hop off, take a little detour, take a little vacation. If you find out it's not for you, then you'd be the first I've heard to say that. But you know, you can always go back to your mainstream, but at least give the indies a chance. And it's
Exactly.
amazing. So that's the last thing I have to say
Some
about
of my
that.
favorite books, you know. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy some of the, you know, DC Marvel stuff, but some of it's not good either. But like the absolute DC absolute stuff right now is phenomenal. You know, like the absolute Batman where he's poor is amazing. But the indie stuff I get to read, and even indie, you know, like Image and Boom and Mad Cat Studio stuff that are much smaller, like they're putting out great books. And then you got all the indie guys that are putting out stuff. Just search Kickstarter, just search, you
Oh
know,
yeah.
podcasts. There's so much good stuff out there, and they need your support.
Absolutely.
Like,
Yes.
it
Help
reminds me of
fund
an
our
old
dream.
thing. Right. You're not only funding our dreams, but like I come across this many years, 15 years ago when I opened my store. You know, when you shop local or shop indie, you're not funding some big corporation. You're funding, you know, your 2-year-old to eat, right? You're funding, you know, my daughter going to play Little League, right? Those are the things you're funding. You're not funding corporations, you know? So that's, you know,
Oh yeah.
support indie.
Yes.
All right. I got my fun questions we have to get to. So, what was your first favorite superhero?
Captain America. I was a big
Really?
Captain fan, yeah. Actually,
Okay.
there's a cosplay of me on the internet, a picture of me in cosplay, and I actually cosplayed Captain America. So that
That's
was right
funny.
before Tanner's Tales started, when I first went back to my first convention in almost 10 years, or like 6 or 7 years. I was like, I'm gonna dress up as Captain America. So there's a picture.
Don't watch episode 6 of my podcast.
Okay.
I get picked on for hating Captain America.
It's all
Like, he's
right.
not my favorite. The movies like weren't my favorite. Like, Captain
Yeah.
America wasn't my favorite. I'm a Thor person.
Of
But
course,
and I
yeah.
read this comic, the Captain America and Volstagg comic. And this is actually from episode 6 where me and my buddy discussed it. It's actually really funny. But because Captain America is like immoral in that book. Like crazy. And like when I read that, like I sent it to my buddy. I'm like, hey, we're reading this and discussing it. And it's pretty funny. He did this whole thing. He was wearing like a red, I can't remember what was on, oh, a Deadpool hoodie.
Yeah.
And he's so when we get to the point, and he was in my room with me because he lived here at the time. When we got to the point of talking about the book, you know, he's like, I was like, all right, you know. What do you think, or whatever? He's like, well, I'm not going to be biased or anything. And then, as he's like, man, it's kind of warm in here, he takes off his hoodie. He's wearing a Captain America shirt. I'm like, it was pretty funny. Oh, I've had so much fun on this
Oh yeah.
podcast. All right. Do you remember the first comic book you ever read? I think we touched on it earlier.
Oh man, so I know I talked about my first indie comic, which I don't remember the name,
Right.
but I think, man, that might be really hard. So well, back when the movies were coming out, Phase One still, I remember.
Yeah.
I think it was Captain America: Civil War, which really kind of got me into comics. Like I always liked the movies and stuff up until then. And I had a couple comics maybe as a kid, but I can't remember. I think once Civil War came out and I realized, like, oh, they're kind of going off of storylines. Of course, that's when I jumped on the mainstream wagon, was like, you know what, I'm going to go out and find Civil War and read it. So I think it was like Captain
I
America:
have it
Civil
in a
War or
box
something
down
like
there.
that. Yeah. Which was so different from how the movie played out. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, this is kind of cool to see the difference. And then, you know, of course, I went for like as many back issues and key things I could find when I went through that little mainstream burst. And then once I found my first indie comic, it was game over for mainstream.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a bunch of those Civil War era books and the whole God of Thunder Thor
Yeah.
series was pretty good. And that like that one I showed you earlier with the weird boot, black
Yeah.
boot thing. The Godzilla versus Thor was phenomenal.
That sounds so good.
It was very good. The guy that wrote God of Thunder came back and wrote that. It was so good.
Nice.
All right, if you could live in any comic book universe, which would it be? And you can choose your own.
I kind of feel like I'm living my own currently, but
You know, technically, I guess you are.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I kind of write the story as I live it. So, I mean, I guess I'd have to say my own as far as that goes. But if I had to choose a different one, I've always been more of a Marvel guy as opposed to DC. So probably more of them.
Okay. If you could have any superpower, which would you choose?
Man, I already feel like I have those too. It would have been funny if I was in costume for this, because then I'd be like...
Right? That's what I was hoping for.
Next time I'll be in costume.
Next time.
Everybody.
Yeah, right?
I mean, like I said, the power of creation is a very powerful thing. So I don't think I could really swap it up from that. Like being able to create different things, like realities and all sorts
of
stuff, that is very powerful. So I'm going to stick with that.
All right. I love it. All right. Which comic book character would you want as your sidekick? Any character you want.
Man. That's a tough one, too. Oh, that's going to make me think. In my own universe, it's the gorilla, because I, like I said, I know where that's going. So I like that.
Oh, okay. That might be a hint towards something cool.
Oh, yeah. But I'd have to say Captain America, just because I feel like him and Pencil Man would have a very interesting dynamic between the two of them.
They would.
So I would
Captain would be Captain. Trying to erase everything. Get over here, Pencil Man!
Yeah. Instead of the shield, he's got the pencil.
Ooh.
He ditches the shield for the pencil.
That's right. I love that. All right. And I mean, the answer might be Pencil Man here, but if your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Like I said, you kind of answered that one for me. Number two, Pencil Man.
Because it is, I mean, it is your life.
Yeah. It really is. Like, from the origin story of me sitting on a pencil that happened to me in second grade to just seeing how it's all unfolded since then, I really feel like I'm living it. And that's the weird thing for me, is it's like I get to write the story. It's a little bit more fictional in the story sense, right. But it's like I'm still living it at the same time. So, yeah, number two, Pencil Man.
Absolutely. So those are my questions. What fun questions do you ask at the end of your podcast?
You know what? I don't think we have it, but one of the things that we started asking was to different musicians, and we could probably reflavor this, is like, if you were to describe your, I'll reflavor it now. If you were to describe your creative endeavor as a food, what food would it be and why?
Food.
Yes.
Interesting.
Frey actually came up with this question, but we started asking it a lot.
Your creative endeavor as a food. That's pretty good. I don't know how I would answer that.
We've gotten some interesting answers in the couple podcasts that we have, like, asked that question. We've asked it more to musicians. It's like, if you were to, like, tell us what your music would be as a food, like, what would you describe it as? We've had people say, it'd be like a lemon meringue pie. And then we had somebody who was like, this is a spicy chicken and waffle sandwich with, like, something extra spicy and hot on the side. It's like, wow, you know, and it gave us another idea of like, we should try these foods and listen to the music and see if we agree to that. But, you know, it's such a fun little...
Those could be episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, a fun question. What's coming to my mind for like my creative process on the comic would be like a breakfast bowl. Like, it's just a bunch of stuff being cooked and thrown together at the moment and just delicious. And so it's going to be good.
Sounds good. I love breakfast, so that's like my favorite.
Right, me too.
No, I love it. Yeah, that's the only question that we have so far that's fun. But we're going to try to work on some more, because our guests go on about like deep stuff sometimes. So it's like hard to like at the end just be like, all right, and we're going to do this now. But yeah.
Well, all right, really cool. And I used to ask. Well, so the first few times I did this, I asked those fun questions at the beginning.
Mm.
And then somebody was like, "You need to save those to the end." So at some point, I switched it to the end. And it is weird, because it's like we go through all of that deep stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but that's why I kind of take that like intermission of anything else we need to talk about. And then it's like, okay, cool. Well, we've wrapped this part up. Let's go to the fun section, right? So it kind of, I think that kind of works.
No, this is
but great. Well, so cool, man. Well, we're going to stay on a few more minutes, but I'm going to end the show and stop the recording.
Yes.
But I really appreciate you being on with me. This was a lot of fun. I hope we can do it again.
Wait.
You know, you're more than welcome to come back on when issue 3 comes on, promote it, whatever. Yeah. Anything you guys need. You know, I appreciate you being on and giving me the time. And you know, thanks for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity. Next time I'll be in Pentecost.
Yes!
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Anakin, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel P, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.